to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. This is what is known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Begin reading in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him," that is Christ, put him to the test, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Again, that question is asked not because he desired eternal life, because he desired to ensnare Christ. "He," Jesus, "said unto him," that is the certain lawyer, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he, the lawyer, answering, said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he, Jesus, said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, so we have a picture of his attitude, his spirit, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus begins to speak the parable. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed," that is the Good Samaritan, "he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host," that is of the inn, "and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he, the lawyer, said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." Now, like all the parables, Lord, it's important to know the occasion of the parable, because the occasion gives us the reason and purpose of the parable. We find the occasion of this parable in the background, which is described in verses 25 through verse 29. We read in verse 25 of a certain lawyer. Now, this is different from what you and I think of when we think of a lawyer. This man had studied biblical law, and he was considered an expert in biblical law, or the law of God. He was a scribe. He was a man who was devoted to religious works, a promoter of salvation by the works of the law. Now, this lawyer stood up with the purpose of entrapping Christ, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 26, Jesus answered with a question of his own. The lawyer gives his answer in verse 27. Jesus responded in verse 28. He said, "Thou hast answered right." And then he told him to do something that he could not do. This do. This do. You've answered right. Now do it. And of course, the man is incapable of doing that. And like most, the lawyer ignored the Lord's word. And instead of acknowledging his failure and instead of acknowledging his sin, we read that he attempted to justify himself. He's attempting to save himself, and he asked the question. And again, the purpose of the question is he's attempting to justify himself. He's looking for a loophole. And who is my neighbor? This lawyer still thought that he could obtain eternal life by keeping the law of God. So he asks, who is my neighbor? And then in verse 30, Jesus speaks the parable. And I believe He speaks the parable to expose this man's sin and to also show him the utter folly of his hope in salvation by keeping the law of God. Now, we've preached from this passage many times, and there's a lot of different subjects that you can preach upon in this parable, just simply from the people that are mentioned. But we want to use the parable to illustrate the Lord Jesus Christ saving the soul. And in so doing, we see man's one and only hope. I want to speak this morning on the subject of Jesus, my good Samaritan. I want to consider the characters in the parable. In verse 30, we read of a certain man. In verse 31, we read of a certain priest. In verse 32, we read of a Levite. And then in verse 33, we read of a certain Samaritan. And we want to see what is illustrated in each of these individuals. First of all, we read in verse 30 at the beginning of the parable, a certain man. So what is illustrated by this certain man? Keep in mind that Jesus is speaking to a certain lawyer who is seeking to justify or save himself by his own good works. So this certain man is certainly a picture of this lawyer. It is a picture of this lawyer. But more importantly, he is a picture of all of mankind. You and I that are saved, we can picture ourselves in this certain man. And if you are here and unsaved today, it is our prayer that you would be able to see yourself in this certain man. So I want to look at several things about this individual. First of all, we read of his destination. We read that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So he has turned his back on Jerusalem. He has left Jerusalem, which is the place of worship, the place of happiness, the place of peace. And he's heading to Jericho, which is the place of a curse. After the children of Israel destroyed Jericho, Joshua declared, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth and buildeth this city, Jericho." Now, the way from Jerusalem to Jericho was very rocky country. It was very steep, a very winding way, descending approximately 3,000 feet in 17 miles. And because of all the rocks, the thieves would hide in the rocks and attack people, and it was considered a very dangerous road, and it was known as the Bloody Way. And this is the road that this certain man was traveling. And may I say, this is the road that you and I traveled before the Lord saved us. And if you're here and unsaved, this is the road that you are traveling. It is a downward road, winding further and further from God, and getting closer and closer to destruction. And if you are unsaved, this is the road that you are on. You are not getting closer to God. You are getting further and further and further from God. And you are getting closer and closer to eternal destruction. That is the road that you are on. The second thing we read about this man is that he was overcome by thieves. We read that he fell among thieves. That is, he was overcome by these thieves. He was conquered by these thieves. Prior to Adam's sin, man, of course, had everything. Had a very great estate. He had abundance of all good things in his possession. He had God to be his God. He had union and he had communion with God. He had the image of God stamped upon his soul. He had the righteousness of God. He had fellowship with God. He had peace with God. He enjoyed all the riches of an earthly paradise. But mankind has fallen among thieves. And all that is gone. And the thieves are sin and Satan. And all of mankind has been overcome. All of mankind has been defeated. All of mankind has been conquered by these two thieves, sin and Satan. So there lies this man. Picture him in your mind. There he lies. He has been conquered. He has been defeated by thieves. And that is a picture of mankind. We see, thirdly, that he had been stripped. We read that these thieves stripped him of his raiment. He was stripped of whatever clothes he was wearing. He was stripped of whatever possessions he had. They violently and cruelly took everything that this man had. And sin and Satan has stripped man and has left man destitute and naked. And now man is fully exposed to the law of God, fully exposed to the justice of God, fully exposed to the wrath of God. And having been stripped by sin and Satan, man has nothing. He has nothing to offer God. Nothing. If you're here and unsaved today, you have nothing. You have nothing to offer unto God. You have been stripped by the thieves of sin and Satan. This man had no ability. And mankind today has no ability to make himself righteous before God. He has no ability to bring himself back into the favor of God. I'm telling you today, if you're unsaved, if you've never had a personal saving experience with Jesus Christ, this is your condition. See yourself in this certain man. You have been conquered. You have been stripped by sin and Satan. And you have absolutely nothing to offer to God. You can attempt to justify yourself. And you can say, well, I'm just going to do the best I can. I want you to understand, you have nothing. The best you can will not work. It will not bring you back into favor with God. And every single person here is depending upon something for salvation. You are depending on something. Either Jesus Christ and his finished work, or you are depending on some sort of works, some sort of work system. But you have nothing. Here lies this man. He's been overcome. He's been conquered by thieves. And there he lies naked on the side of the road with nothing to offer. He had been stripped. We see fourthly that this man had been wounded. We see the thieves wounded him. This man who had been overcome by thieves. See him as he's lying there. He's lying there with nothing. And he's wounded. He's been maimed. He's been disabled. And see him there. He's suffering. And lost man today is suffering. He is suffering. He is hurting. He is in anguish. And this man is absolutely miserable. Can you see yourself in this certain man? You have been conquered by sin. You have been stripped by sin. You have been wounded by sin. And you are in a morbid condition. And folks, it's not getting any better. And then fifthly, notice the thieves, in the last part of verse 30, departed, leaving him half dead. The thieves left this man on the side of the road. They left him there with nothing. And sin has left you with nothing. They left him there naked. And sin has left you naked. They left him there wounded. He's bruised and he's bleeding. And they left him there. And that is how sin has left you. They left him there helpless. If you're here today and unsaved, you're helpless. You can't save yourself. You can't get yourself up out of the ditch of sin.
Sin has left you helpless. So the thieves departed, leaving this man helpless. They left him there. He's exposed to all the dangers of that road. He's exposed to all the elements. They left him. They left him half dead. And man is alive physically, but he's dead spiritually. But the point is, they left him there and he's dying. He's dying. He has been conquered by thieves. He has been stripped. He has nothing. He has been wounded. He's suffering. He's hurting. He has been left on the side of the road in a morbid, helpless condition. And he's dying. And lost sinner, that's you. That's you. See yourself in this man. Your condition is one of bankruptcy. Your condition is one of helplessness. You are on a road that is going to lead to eternal destruction. And you are dying. You are dying. You are getting closer and closer to death every single day. Oh, I pray that you could see yourself in this certain man. You see, sin and Satan has left man in the depths. In the depths of unrighteousness, in the depths of filth, in the depths of vileness, in the depths of darkness, in the depths of helplessness. And man has no way to escape his plight within himself. He can do nothing to help himself. Can you see yourself in this certain man? Then we read of two other individuals, a priest and a Levite. We want to see what is illustrated by these two individuals. Verse 31, again, as this certain man lies there on the side of the road, we read, there came down a certain priest that way. Perhaps this man who has been conquered by thieves, this man who has been robbed, this man who has been stripped and wounded, this man who is dying and helpless, this man who's all alone on the side of the road, absolutely nothing to offer anyone. Perhaps he could hear the footsteps of the priest. And I imagine if he could hear the footsteps of the priest, there was some hope aroused in him. And he began to think to himself, somebody's coming. Maybe they can help me. Maybe they'll have pity upon me. Perhaps they can rescue me. from this place. And though the priest came close enough to see the man, we don't know how close he got. But we read in verse 31 that when he came that way and when he saw him, perhaps he saw him in the distance. Afraid of being defiled, we read that he passed over on the other side. That is, he crossed the street. The man is lying there in a perishing condition. Here comes the priest. And he passed by on the other side. In other words, he turned and went away. And there lies this man who had been conquered and stripped by thieves, left to die. As he hears the footsteps going across the street, he comes to the realization there's no hope in that man. He's not going to help me. Perhaps he saw that he was a priest. And if that be the case, when he saw him passing by on the other side, he knew, there's no hope for me in that priest. There's no healing for me in that priest. There's no rescue for me in that priest. So there he lies, robbed, stripped, wounded, alone, helpless, and dying. And he's come to the realization there's no hope in the priest. In the process of time, this man's condition getting no better. And if you're here and unsaved today, your condition is getting no better. Oh, you may think that you've made some improvements, but your condition isn't getting any better. The only thing that is happening is you're getting closer and closer and closer to destruction. So in the process of time, we read that a Levite, when he was at the place. Now I believe this man got a little closer, because we read that he came and he looked on him. Once again, perhaps this certain man, as he's lying there and he's dying, again he can hear the footsteps. The footsteps are getting closer, and he's beginning to think, maybe this man can help me. Maybe he will help me. Maybe he will show some mercy. Maybe he'll show some compassion. And the Levite came, and in my own mind, I picture him standing and looking at the man. And perhaps the certain man, as he's lying there dying, he could feel the presence of this man. But then he too across the street. He too passed by on the other side. And again, the man is brought to the realization there's no hope. There's no hope in the Levite. Now I believe the priest and the Levite in this parable represent the law of God. Again, keep in mind who Jesus is talking to. A certain lawyer who seeks to justify himself by keeping the law of God. And what Jesus is saying is, Mr. Lawyer, Let me tell you what you're like. You're like a certain man who fell among thieves. And there you are, lying on the road. You've been robbed. You've been stripped. You're naked. You have nothing to offer. And the priest and the Levite, when they saw you, they went to the other side of the road. You have no hope in the law. None.
And is that not the position? Is that not where the Lord brings each and every one before He saves them?
Certainly it is. He brings us to the realization, there is no hope in my baptism. There is no hope in my good works. There is no hope in my church membership. There is no hope in my parents. There is no hope in my friends. There is no hope in the law of God. You know what the law of God did? The law of God saw me lying there in the ditch of sin, and the law of God walked away. Left me there. Is that not what the priest and the Levite did? They left the man exactly where the thieves left him. And that's what the law of God will do. It'll leave you where the thieves of sin and Satan have left you.
But as this man, as the priest and the Levite, pass by on the other side, utter hopelessness filled this man's soul. When they pass by on the other side, they only added to the man's misery. They only added to the man's despair. And when the Spirit of God is dealing with a lost sinner, and He brings the law of God to your heart, that only adds to your misery. It only adds to your despair. Before you'll ever be saved, you've got to be brought to a point of despair, where you realize, I can't save myself. This is more than saying, repeat a prayer after me. This is being brought to a point of despair and utter helplessness. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Where you realized, I've been robbed. I've been stripped. I've been wounded. I have nothing to offer. I am helpless and I'm dying. And there is no hope for me in the law of God. You'll notice that neither the priest or the Levite offered this man anything. They made no offers. The law of God offers no mercy. The law of God offers no relief. The law of God offers no hope. The law of God offers no cure. It simply brings us to that place where we are hopeless. And then thirdly, we want to see verse 33. So both the priest and the Levite, they've passed by on the other side. And there, this man lies. He's been overcome by thieves. He's been robbed. He's been stripped. He's been wounded. He is helpless. And he is dying. And he has come to realize there is no relief. And this is what this lawyer must come to realize. There is no relief for me. There is no cure for me. There is no hope for me in the law of God. So you see him. He lies there. And all hope is gone. And then we read verse 33. But
but a certain Samaritan. The Samaritan is Jesus. The Samaritans, of course, were hated by the Jews. I believe this certain man was probably Jewish. And he hated the Samaritans. That's where we were. We were enemies. But a certain Samaritan. Those four words change everything. Change everything. Again, the Samaritan is Jesus. So we can read, after the priest and the Levite passed by on the other side, leaving this man where sin had left him. But Jesus. Here is hope. Here is hope. And then notice what this Samaritan did. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. I believe that has reference to Christ coming into the world. Coming into the sin-cursed world where the poor, suffering, and helpless sinners dwell. And when he saw him, he had compassion upon him. When he saw him, he could see that the man had been stripped of everything. He could see that this man had absolutely nothing to offer. He could see his wounds. He could see that the man was absolutely helpless. He could see that he was dying. And when he saw him in that condition, he had compassion. That is, he had pity. He had sympathy. He had love. He had mercy and kindness on him. Oh, how we all praise God. We that are saved, when the Savior saw us lying there where sin had brought us and left us, he looked upon us with a heart of love. And then notice what it says. And went to him. And he did so with intent and purpose. He didn't just go get closer to get a better look. He personally went to him. There lies this man. He's been conquered by thieves. He's been stripped. He's been wounded. He is helpless. He's alone and he's dying. But a certain Samaritan went to him. And that's what Jesus did for you and I that are saved. He went to him. He began with the man in his sins. He began with the man in his morbid condition. He didn't say, "Sir, if you could get yourself up and walk a few miles, I know an innkeeper, and I'm sure he'll take you in." He didn't come to make an offer to this man. And I'm so glad And there I was where sin had left me. And Jesus came. And He came where I was. And He didn't just come to make an offer. He came to save my soul. He came to rescue me from that place. And then it goes on to say that He bound or closed up His wounds, pouring in oil and wine. In other words, this certain Samaritan took of his own. For this man had nothing. He began to close up his wounds. And may I say today, if you're here and lost, only Jesus can bind up and close the wounds of sin. The priest and Levite won't do it, nor can they. They'll leave you there where sin has left you. But this man, Jesus, He came and He closed up His wounds. And then I read, after He had done that, He set him on his own beast. He picked him up. He lifted him up. He didn't just say, "Now get up and get on my beast." He set him there. He lifted him up. Lifted him up where sin had left him. Lifted him up where the thieves had left him. Lifted him up where the priest and the Levite had left him. And that's what Jesus does when He saves a soul. He's not like the priest and the Levite who just walks on the other side of the road and leaves you there. He lifts you up. He lifts you up from that place of sin. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever seen yourself as a certain man who had fallen among thieves? Can you see yourself? You're helpless. You have nothing to offer to God. And my friend, you are dying. Have you ever seen yourself in that condition? And can you remember a day when a certain man named Jesus came where you were in the ditch of sin? He began with you there. He didn't say, "Now you make some improvements and I'll help you." He began with you there. And then do you remember when He closed up your wounds, pouring in wine and oil? Do you remember Him lifting you up out of that miry clay? Setting your feet upon a rock. Here the man set him upon the beast. And then lastly, we realize we've run out of time. He set him on his own beast in verse 34. Brought him to an inn and took care of him. The Lord not only came where I was and saved me from where sin had brought me and where sin had left me, but He brought me to an inn. You can believe what you want. I believe that's a picture of the Lord's church. The Lord not only saved me, that would have been enough to praise Him forever. But He brought me to an end. He brought me to his church. What is an inn? An inn is a place for travelers. While they pass from one country to another. In an inn, people are provided for. They're taken care of. That's what the Lord's church does. You see, an inn is a place where the wounded and the sick and the tired can find comfort and can find refreshment. The Lord chose to save my soul. He could have passed me by. That's what I deserved. That's what you deserve. What we deserve is for Jesus Christ to leave us where sin has brought us and left us. But he came where I was. He lifted me out of that mess, brought me to an inn. And then it says, he took care of him. And he's been doing so ever since. How can I praise him enough? How can I serve him? Too much. You can identify today with this certain man, and you can identify that there was a day, you remember it, when the priest and the Levite crossed on the other side of the road and left you there, and then a certain man named Jesus came where you were and lifted you up. If you can remember that day, how can you not serve him? How can you not love him? How can you put anything ahead of the one who lifted you out of the depths of sin? How can you profane the things of God? How can you not love him? How can you fight and resist against him? Oh, we ought to serve him. And then if you can remember the day that he not only saved your soul, but he brought you to an inn. He takes care of us. And then he left that innkeeper with a promise, I'm going to return. And that's the promise the Lord's church has today. I'm coming back. You're here lost today. You're like this certain man, but it's much worse. There's really nothing that can picture how awful and how desperate your condition is. There's nothing that can picture it. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you are in a desperate situation. You are dying. You are on your way to an eternity in hell. You say, well, I'm going to do the best I can. Did you hear me? The priest and the Levite crossed on the other side. They have left you there. There's no hope for you in the law of God. There's no hope for you in your good works. There's no hope for you in your good intentions. Your only hope is a certain Samaritan. Your only hope is Jesus Christ. And I pray today that you would see yourself robbed, stripped, wounded, helpless, dying, and that there is no hope in the law of God for you, and that you would cry out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because that is your only hope this morning. Brother Larry, if you'd come. Let's also